John and Hera moved up to the dock entrance. Ahead of them, Pod was working dockside security, checking the delivery. He glanced up from running a diagnostic wand down the side of the cartons when John moved closer.
All crew report to First Officer Pratang.
All crew was family code for anything wrong.
Go on, Hera. Tell him we're back. I'll hang out with Pod here.
More family code. Hera's name plus here in the same utterance meant the problem's here. Pod continued to wand the pallet mover and its cargo as if unconcerned. John flicked him a hand signal from behind the delivery man's back. Pod shook the wand vigorously.
Oh, this stupid thing. It does that all the time, and there's never anything.
John had noticed the man stiffening when the wand squealed. His left hand had twitched toward his side. John adjusted to the possibility of a left-handed shooter. The man relaxed slightly as the wand resumed normal function.
That's better. I bet it won't react this time.
John knew it would, but the man was relaxed, not worried now. Probably thinking how to explain the tell tags if they were found. Probably thinking they wouldn't be noticed.
Ugh, I hate those things.
John moved a little to one side. The man glanced at him, but didn't seem concerned. He would recognize John's position, but if he was what John suspected, he would be sure he could handle it.
Let me try, Pod. Maybe I can make it behave.
I hope so. Martin says open anything that squeals, but these are just dishes. They called over a couple of hours ago about them. The captain saw them packed. There can't be anything wrong.
John fiddled with the wand controls.
That should do it. I don't know why we have to use this stuff anyway. We have area scans.
He stepped closer to the man to wand the cartons on this side. The man moved away out of politeness or the desire to keep John from coming too close. He seemed to be looking around the docking area.
You have a crewman named Giulio Calixto?
Julie? Sure, cargo handler.
Listen, I know his sister B. Think I could speak to him?
John could feel the change in Pod's alertness from 2 meters away. He hoped the delivery man couldn't.
Sure, I'll call.
Pod used the exterior comm rather than his implant phone.
His sister B.
John recognized a code phrase when he heard it.
He's coming out.
While the man's attention was split between Pod and the gangway, John pressed a control.
Damn it! Thought I had it fixed.
The man barely glanced his way as John shook the wand. So his priority was to meet this person, pass a message, or maybe tell this person where the tell tag was. John glanced toward the gangway and saw Gordon Martin coming out with Hera.
Here comes trouble, Hera and the big guy.
The delivery man looked at him.
Sorry, I'm gonna have to open the cartons now. He'll have heard the wand and he has his rules.
That the captain?
No, that's the security chief. Captain's a lady.
Martin, John could tell, scared the delivery man.
Got a squealer, huh? Well, let's open him up and take a look. You, delivery. Let me see your badge.
I'm legit. Nothing's wrong with this cargo. It's that wand. I check contents myself at the cargo terminal. Nothing broken, nothing prohibited.
Martin made a cursory inspection.
Looks all right.
John wasn't fooled. Not when Herod had time to tell Martin what they'd seen. He too was playing for time.
It's the wand. I told you before it's broken.
Are those my new dishes?
John turned to see the captain, the mystery man Rafe, and Jim the Bonehead in the entrance. Martin didn't like Rafe. That had been clear from the first day. And John already respected Martin enough to take his opinion of Rafe. But at the moment, Rafe and Jim were properly positioned for escorts. He wondered if they would recognize that something was wrong here.
Yes, ma'am.
Then let's get them aboard. We're about to leave.
This hasn't cleared security yet, ma'am. We're working on it.
We're in the queue for departure.
That was new. She must have contacted the station authorities on her way back from this shopping trip. Why the hurry, John wondered.
Yes, ma'am. We'll make it. Just don't want any unpleasant surprises. It won't take long to do a visual on these things.
All right.
She moved toward the ship, keeping herself out of all conceivable lines of fire. John nodded to himself. She wasn't going to second-guess her security chief, and she didn't try to micromanage. But she recognized a threat. Rafe had moved to cover her, but Jim still lagged, staring at the carton as if it had snakes in it. John didn't know Giulio Calixto. He didn't know most of the new hires yet, but he was fairly sure the youngish man who came out of the gangway now and headed toward them was the contact the delivery man wanted to make.
Where is Bea? She missed Grandma's birthday party and no one's heard from her since.
She's fine. She was through here last month. She's working on an old lady's yacht and asked me to let you know if you came through. With the Ansibles down, she couldn't let you know. Can you imagine Bea washing dishes for a rich lady and packing and unpacking boxes of stuff?
As code, it was ridiculously transparent. Dishes, boxes, unpacking. John didn't think much of the delivery man's smarts, but if he hadn't known there was a tell tag on a dish and on the carton, it could have sounded innocent enough.
Since you're here, Calixto, you can help inspect these. The captain's in a hurry. We need to get these signed off and put aboard.
Oh, sure.
The delivery man stirred as if to help.
Not you. You know the rules. We can't sign off until we're sure it's as ordered, but we do the inspection here. It won't be long. You can call your office if you need to.
The delivery man shook his head.
Calixto, you do that carton. I'll do this one.
And he didn't have to say, "You Gannets, stay alert." John moved again, this time taking the angle on Calixto. Pod stepped back as if returning to his primary duty of dock security, and Hera had a standard cargo data board, or what looked like one. Martin opened the carton with the tell tags, and Calixto opened the other.
I didn't know you knew anyone on this station, Calixto. It's not in your interview transcript.
Calixto stiffened for a moment, then went on burrowing into the packing materials.
Well, it's not like... I mean, we're not close friends or anything. He just knows my sister Bea, and that's how I know him.
Martin lifted out the top plate, turning it in his hands.
Huh. So, what's his name?
Calixto cast a swift glance at the delivery man and blinked.
Pete. Pietro, actually, but like me, he doesn't use his formal name.
Martin was looking at the bottom of the plate. John saw the glisten of sweat on the delivery man's neck.
I see. So, this little tell tag thing here wouldn't be a coded data dot he wanted to get to you, and calling you out here wouldn't be a way to let you know where it was then?
No!
The delivery man twitched, controlled it.
Because if this tell tag, or the other one on the inside of the carton lid, is a secret coded message from him to you, I'm going to be very displeased. And I'm going to have to know what it's all about.
I don't know anything about anything.
John didn't look at him. He watched the delivery man instead. Watched another tensing and relaxing, the change of color on his neck.
Well, that's fine. I'm glad for your sake that you don't. But...
out of the corner of his eye, John saw Martin turn toward the delivery man.
That leaves you. You're the only person to open this shipment since it left the store.
John sensed Calixto moving suddenly.
Look at that. Accidental discharge. It's like the wand. Everything's acting up today.
Pod hit the controls, sealing the dock off from the concourse. Martin turned to the delivery man.
Well, what's your story?
John had his own weapon out, as did Hera now. The delivery man was pinned and knew it.
I'll tell you everything. I will, really. Just don't kill me.
That depends. You're armed, I'm sure. Put your hand straight out to the side. John, search him.
The delivery man had more weapons than any one person needed, plus both mechanical and electronic lockpicks, and a coil of R-387 moldable explosive wound around his left leg. Martin eyed the array laid out on the deck.
Aren't you the busy one? So start talking.
I can't. Here. He'll know. He'll get me. But I can tell you things you need to know. Take me along, please. Take me away from here. It's my only chance.
Martin frowned. He glanced at John. John understood that glance.
He's really frightened, sir. He might have something.
If you don't, we'll space you. All right, cuff him. Get him aboard, you and Pod. I'll tell the captain and get someone out to clean up this mess.
The man looked at Calixto's limp body on the deck.
Is he dead?
That's not your concern.
John sealed the cuffs he'd put on wrists used to cuffs. The man had known how to position his wrists for them, and John had made the necessary correction and nudged the man forward toward the gangway. Hugh Pratang met them in the ship's entrance.
Captain's going to want a complete report. I'll take care of dockside.
John wondered what that meant, what station law enforcement would say. Technically, Dockside belonged to the ship, and ship captains had the power to administer justice there. But most stations took an interest in Dockside deaths, and the man certainly looked dead. But his job was the prisoner for now, so he kept going without a backward glance.
This is a situation we didn't need. A dead man and a prisoner. I can just imagine the local reaction to that.
And possible pirates in the system, and Stella somewhere between Garth Lindheimer and here, maybe jumping into trouble. Rosvarine Station's advisory to ships in the system had made it clear Rosvarine Peace Force thought these ships were dangerous.
Hasn't been any reaction yet.
Somebody's bound to have heard the shot.
Begging your pardon, Captain, but I doubt it. The shot was inside our dock space, and you'll remember we have a standard acoustic barrier, even when the gates open. Drops the volume 30 or more decibels. And Pod, the shooter, used a quieted weapon. The victim's your crewman, who was clearly conspiring against you, and he tried to draw on your security forces.
Kai thought about it. She hadn't given the order to kill, but she'd made it clear she wanted the ship secure, which made it her responsibility.
Would have been worse if he'd shot Pod.
I can see that. I'm not trying to second-guess my own security. I'm just thinking what to do now. We hired the dead man here, after all. He's bound to have other contacts.
Who aren't going to be asking questions if he was undercover for someone. This is Rosvarine, which helps. I've been here 5 standard months while Captain Janacek tried to make ends meet. I don't think there'll be any problems.
So did we get all the blood off the deck?
Complete biochem cleanup. I did the entire dockside, and then reminded the station environmental squad that we were due a refund of the deposit you paid when you arrived, for cleaning their grungy dock thoroughly so they didn't have to do a complete decontamination. They argued about it, but sent over an inspector, and you'll find the deposit refund in your accounts.
Hugh, I think you're almost as devious as I am.
Not at all. I'm merely doing my job to see that our departure is trouble-free, as any good first officer would.
Which leaves us the matter of our prisoner. I understand he said he was willing to tell us why he placed the tell tags?
Yes. I think you should let Martin and me question him.
I think I should be there.
I agree. Someone from command must be there, and the captain bears ultimate responsibility. I can keep us moving on our departure schedule. The captain needs to be on the bridge only for the last part of that.
Word's gone out. No more killing Vaters.
The man's head lolled back, his eyes focused on nothing. He had not resisted their questions. He had even suggested himself that they might want to use interrogation drugs if they had any. Kai had hesitated. Surely taking someone prisoner and questioning them privately was against the law. She knew it was against the law on Slaughter Key, but Rosvarine's laws were notoriously lax as long as nothing bothered its own citizens. And chem-based interrogation wasn't physically painful. She really did need to know what this man probably knew. Yet she had the uneasy feeling that she was about to cross some line she had never crossed before, a line that Osman would have crossed without thinking about it. Maybe she'd already crossed it, when she hadn't reported the altercation dockside.
Reliable?
Maybe, maybe not. Chemicals are always tricky. We don't have an enzyme scan on him.
Said it's stupid. Vada right here. Let me do it. Money's good. No money, they said. No more killing Vadas. Done enough. Blame Osman, that slime. Just put the tell tag on the carton and let Calyxo know.
So even his allies didn't like him?
Nobody like Osman. Osman's bad link. Gah. The boss, glad he did.
His head rolled around, came up slightly, and his blurry eyes almost focused on Kai.
You're pretty, honey. Wanna play?
Martin's knuckles whitened, Kai noticed.
Not playtime, sonny. What about the boss?
He don't like Osman. He don't like anybody do more than he told him. He
A sudden flush ran up the man's neck.
Damn it.
Martin grabbed one of the other syringes laid out on the box and stabbed the man's arm. But the flush deepened, pink to red to rose purple.
He's got a suicide link. To the boss, whoever that is. We're gonna lose him if this isn't the right antidote. Boss, name, who?
Boss. Boss, he don't let... He... Gamus.
His body convulsed against the straps as his skin went from purple to blue-gray. Martin had the oxygen mask on his face. Rafe helped unstrap the man, and they laid him flat. But nothing worked. He was dead.
What was that?
Suicide circuit. Probably in his implant. Some of them trigger on any interrogation drug. Some are keyword specific. There are different drugs they use. Cardiotoxins, neural solvents. This was clearly an oxygen decoupler. Propagates really fast in the bloodstream, and just about impossible to reverse. If you have a hemoglobin replacement and a lot of other equipment, you can sometimes save them, but otherwise not. And their implants are always wiped.
Rafe and Martin were stripping the body now. Kai wondered what they would do with it.
Keyword was his boss, or the boss's name.
Gamus something.
Gamus. There was a pirate gang operating over near Wooston maybe 5 years ago, and someone said the head of it was named Gamus something. Turek, I think. Supposedly, he had some kind of protection racket going on with the system government and local ships. But he was leaving ISC alone, so I didn't pay much attention.
Captain, how long till we leave?
Just a couple of hours. What are you going to do with him?
If it's that quick, we can just stick him in cold storage and dump him in space later. His friends aren't going to be asking the authorities about him anytime soon, anyway.
Rafe had brought a packing wrap and laid it out. He and Martin rolled the body onto it.
We can't just...
They could. It was wrong, certainly against the law, but so was killing someone in an interrogation. For a moment, the weight of the deaths she had caused lay on her shoulders.
If we try to dump him on the station, we could be observed. Probably would be. Even if we got away clean, our record here would be tainted. If he just disappears, they might suspect something, but they wouldn't know. Another scum with a record vanishes. Who cares?
It made sense. But it made sense that felt uncomfortably close to the dead man's values. As the other two started to fold the shipping blanket over the man's face, Kai knelt beside the corpse.
Wait a minute. What's the name on his ID?
Pietro Duran. A fake, I'm sure of it.
But it's the name we have.
Kai had said no words over the first men she killed. They had been trying to kill her, and she had felt no impulse to speak for them. But this Pietro, evil as he might have been, had done her no direct harm, though by his own words he would have if his boss paid for it. Saying words over his body felt right, something more real than real. She looked at his face, blue-gray and sharp with death.
Go in peace, Pietro Duran. If you had those who loved you, may they find peace without you. And if there is life beyond life, may you have a better one than you had here.
When she stood again, she felt better, more solid to herself. Martin and Rafe looked confused, and no wonder.
I didn't know you were religious.
I haven't been practicing for a while, but I needed to do this.
Does it bother you he's dead?
Not particularly. Though the thought of having a suicide circuit in an implant disgusts me. Get him into the freezer and this cleaned up. I'll be on the bridge making our farewells.
That would make two corpses in the freezer. Even Ross Varine's relatively lax law enforcement would probably detain them for having killed two people, if they suspected. Kai made the usual round of calls, trying to leave Stella with the best possible arrangements at the bank, with the Captain's Guild, with merchants, and finally with station authorities. She noticed on the system status board that other captains were also reacting to the arrival of the armed threesome.
Cleared. All accounts green. No outstanding warrants, no complaints. We understand about your cousin. Fair travel, Captain Bada. Did you want to list a destination?
No, out system only.
Very well. You're cleared for a least boost course to Jump Point Gamma. At this alert level, you must have clearance from Ross Varan Peace Force to deviate from that course.
I was going to take the slow route to see if my cousin showed up.
No, we want all ships in system, either docked or boosting out. No hanging around where they could interfere with system defense. Now remember that if you attack a ship in this system, we will retaliate.
Even if they fire at my ship?
Yes. Keep your weapons cold. Our forces will fire on any ship that goes hot. Is that quite clear?
Very clear.
Kai hoped Ross Varine's defensive forces were as good as they thought they were. Undock went smoothly. Behind them, ships peeled off Ross Varine Station like beads off a string, with Farrah Colleen leading the parade. Kai watched the system scan, highlighting the incoming ships with threat icons. Nothing happened as the hours passed.
Are they pirates after all? Did I skip the station for no reason? How upset will Stella be to find me gone?
Kai stared at the plots, trying to make Gary Tobai appear by the force of wishing, but it didn't. After the first uneventful day on in-system drive, Kai called Rafe and Martin aside.
We've got to figure out who's behind all this. This Gamus Turek or whatever. What is he after? What does he want?
This is more than one pirate gang could do. You'd take a space fleet near enough.
He worked with Osman. What if he worked with other pirate gangs, got them to cooperate?
Cooperate? Pirates? They're too independent for that.
Maybe. And maybe not. It would make sense. Organized crime's a lot more profitable and safer than the same criminals doing things on their own.
Martin gave him a look that clearly conveyed, you should know. Rafe sketched a salute.
Of course I have reasons to know. I'm still right. Enough pirates working together, linked by Ansible, could overpower any one system's defenses, especially if it was cut off from others, if its Ansible failed. There's no organized interstellar force. Just a few privateers running around with no coordination, even if they are authorized by the same government. Just how many privateers does Slaughter Key have out anyway?
I have no idea. Martin?
Well, I never heard. I suppose 20, 30? And Slaughter Key is not the only government that uses them. Well, let's see. There's Manhai, Servalos, Bissonnet.
The original signatories to the commercial code all had privateers at one time. But only a handful do now. Not worth the bad publicity.
Which Slaughter Key just ignored. Cost us diplomatically, some said.
Making Slaughter Key the logical target for a group of pirates that wanted to expand its influence.
Kai could almost see it now. The pirates' whole plan.
If you could show that privateers weren't effective protection, for that you'd have to attack trade ships, then you could convince governments and shippers they needed better protection.
It worked over in Wooston. The protection end, anyway. I don't think they ever had privateers there. Not a bad system to test it in. Wooston's too poor to interest many of the big firms.
So they cut off communications and hit one particular shipper really hard. Probably chose Vada because of Osman.
Or because Vada's big, well-known, had never been part of Slaughter Key's privateer fleet. Lots of publicity, less risky. No Vada ship was armed. But for the attack on Slaughter Key itself, they must have pressured the government somehow. From what Stella said, someone knew about the bunkers under your headquarters and placed charges below ground. You can't do that from outer space.
But if this is what's going on and we can find more clues, we can tell people...
Tell them what? That there's danger? They know that. Just giving them a man's name won't help.
I'm thinking of the other privateers. We need to find them, get them working with us.
Working with us? You mean to find out more?
As a fleet. If Slaughter Key has as many as 30... and the others have that many, too. We'd have a fleet bigger than the pirates.
First, we don't know how big their fleet really is. For all we know, they have hundreds, thousands of ships. Second, you'll never get 50 or 100 independent privateers to agree to fight together as a fleet.
Even if they were trained to fleet maneuvers, which they aren't.
Nobody could support a fleet of thousands. Not without more resources than could be put together in the past few years. Hundreds, maybe. Slaughter Key's a wealthy world, and we have fewer than 200 real warships, plus the support craft.
Kai ran the figures in her implant again. That was right. The economy would not stand more without adjustments that had not been made.
As for training, Slaughter Key puts Space Force officers aboard its privateers, and they're trained in fleet maneuvers. Well, maybe the others do the same, or maybe we can borrow fleet officers.
Martin looked at Rafe. Rafe opened his mouth. She held up her hand.
No! Don't tell me why it won't work. Help me find the right way to do it.
But, Captain, you don't understand the difficulties.
I do understand. I understand that we are one ship. That Vada has, to my knowledge, only two ships, one of which is an old, slow, toothless tub. I understand that the enemy has many ships, efficient communications, and the advantage of initiative. But I also understand, and you had better understand, that this family, my family, is not finished. I am not finished. My Aunt Grace is not finished. I don't intend survival. I intend victory.
In her mind, a cascade of possibilities rained down, glittering like polished coins. The moment Kai heard the words, she thought how brash they sounded, how unlikely to be true. But Rafe and Martin both looked at her as if they'd heard trumpets.
What have I done? Do I really have command presence?
Kai pushed that question away.
The pirates have a combined fleet right now. Even if it falls apart, it will cripple trade and communication. The resources to deal with that are already out here if we just put them together.
And you think you can do that?
I had better do that. No one else seems to be doing it.
Combining privateers might work. But what about the space fleets and systems that have them? Wouldn't they be more use?
That'd be a big help, if their governments released them. But most operate in their own system only. Some don't even have FTL capability. They're like block police. What we need is a true interstellar force.
And what about communications?
Those shipboard ansibles. We have enough to equip at least a strike force. It puts us equal to the pirates. And we can have more built.
No, you can't do that. You mustn't do that.
Yes, Rafe. The tech's already loose in the universe. You can't suppress it now. Chances are some of your renegade development people are already manufacturing them. You've looked at Osman's inventory lists. How many do you think are out there?
At least 60. But I don't see why we can't try to destroy them with the ships.
60 ships with constant real-time communication, independent of system ansibles. We can't defeat them without communications parity. Tactically, instantaneous communications between ships at scan-lag distances gives them incredible advantages in command and control.
If the system ansibles come back up, we could use those.
And if they don't? And considering how vulnerable they are to skilled attack? No, Rafe. The only way to fight them is to use those ansibles ourselves.
Kai had hoped for fewer. She'd need a lot of allies to take on that many, or more. He shook his head, but said nothing.
Captain, more ships down jumping.
On my way!
Kai hoped one of them would be Gary Tobai, perhaps in a convoy. On the bridge, she found tension almost as thick as Aunt Grace's fruitcake. Hugh pointed to the scan.
Four more armed ships. No sign of your cousin. Rosverine Station hasn't... Ah, there they go.
The station's automated message center displayed a crawler on the lower edge of the navigation screen. Attention, all ships. Alert status Xeno. Hold course or be fired on. Maintain weapons lockdown or be fired on. Ships may activate defensive shields only. Alert status Xeno. System Ansible not available for private use.
Shields up. Lee, give us a calculation on time to jump if we don't wait for the jump point.
22 minutes at present acceleration. I've got it running, along with an estimated down jump variance.
Good. Engineering, get the FTL drive on standby for an emergency jump.
She was not going to be caught, as at Valinta, no matter what happened here. On scan, Rosverine's embedded systems defenses showed up as red dots, as did the system's ships. Kai looked at the ship plots. The three original problem ships, inbound for Rosverine Station, the outbound traders, some of them undoubtedly privateers, just like Fair Colleen, Rosverine's own Peace Force ships, and the four newcomers, which had come through the jump at high delta V relative to the system and showed no signs of deceleration. Kai's stomach clenched. Eight Rosverine ships, shadowing the first three, were now bracketed between them and the newcomers.
That's not good. Come on, get yourselves out of there.
Scan lag's almost an hour. What's done is done.
All Kai could think of was Stella. Stella in a small, slow, defenseless ship. Minutes passing like hours as she watched the outdated scan, as the newly emerged ship spread out, as the shooting began, from ship and embedded platforms both. It was hard to remember that what she saw was almost an hour old, when shields flared.
They're not after ships. They're after system defense, the embedded installations.
The attackers' shields flared under Ross Varine Peace Force fire, but none had failed yet.
Look at that!
Lee pointed. Kai had already noticed one of the ships in line behind them veering from its assigned course.
Armed trade ship, Iron Gate, and she's loading on the Delta V.
She was much closer to them than the seven attackers. They were able to watch her in near real time.
Course estimate?
Nowhere near us. Looks like she could be on a least time course for...
The navigation screen showed the first blunt arrowhead of Iron Gate's course change narrowing as the acceleration closed her options.
The System Financial Ansible Platform.
A decoy attack. These others are just covering the attack on the Ansible. They have to know that ship weapons won't...
But a flare on the screen belied her words. One of the embedded defense batteries was gone.
Prepare for transition!
Even as Kai said it, another crawler came up on the screen. All ships ready for up transition. All ships jump in order of departure, 30-second interval. Fair Colleen first. Ships not up jumping will be tagged as hostile.
They want us out of here. If they have more of whatever that was, Ross Varine's system defenses are in trouble.
So are we. Lee?
50 seconds.
It felt more like 50 minutes, but Fair Colleen slipped into transition with the smoothness of perfect alignment.
That was interesting. I hope it's over with before Stella gets there.
It was the first time Rafe had expressed concern about Stella. Kai looked at his impassive expression, wondering.
I hope the right side wins.
They should. Unless a fleet follows that probe, Ross Varine's Peace Force has plenty of firepower to run those raiders out. I read it as a test of the system's defenses.
They blew an embedded installation.
I'd bet it's a peripheral automated one. Let's look at the scan data when the ship's secured for FTL flight.
After we set up a training schedule. Clearly we can expect trouble anywhere but in FTL. I'll take bridge watch. You and Martin rough up a schedule for me.
It's almost shift change.
It was my watch next anyway. If you're tired, you're off duty.
Through her implant, Kai checked ship functions one after another. No problems. Fair Colleen hung suspended in indeterminacy.
I meant the captain's a long way from her last meal. Aren't there rules about that?
Kai started to say she wasn't hungry, but now that immediate danger seemed past, she was. And with the ship fully crewed, she now had galley staff.
Galley, this is the captain. Have someone run a hot meal up to the bridge, please. Satisfied now?
Rafe put his hands together and bowed slightly.
I have only the captain's welfare in mind.
I'm sure.
3 hours into the new shift, Martin and Hugh reappeared with a training schedule and more questions about Kylara's plans.
How are the trade ships going to know we aren't pirates, too? How are the system governments going to react? And the mercenary companies?
We'll figure it out. The traders... Well, Vada still has a reputation for honesty, Osman aside. I can talk to them. Unless the mercs have thrown in with the pirates, they have no reason to attack us. They make their money out of in-system conflicts anyway. Governments...
Governments that don't like or trust Slaughter Key, remember?
I know. First things first. We find the other privateers, one at a time if we have to. But I'll bet they're already joining forces if they've run into the pirate gangs.
2 days out from Ross Varine, Kai called Rafe into her office.
Did you tell that ISC manager about the shipboard Ansibles?
Good gracious, no. She's not cleared at that level. Why?
Is there any way to use these shipboard Ansibles to hook into local communications networks?
Not really. The difficulty in integrating shipboard Ansibles with local facilities is one of the big problems with using them. It's easier to call ship-to-ship across systems than to access the local communications network. The system's just not set up for that.
That doesn't make sense. It's closer.
Closer physically, yes, but that's not the point. This is getting into proprietary secrets again, but you need to understand at least part of it. System Ansibles access local system communications through hardware and software that ensures cross-identification. The Ansibles themselves are protected by requiring all incoming messages to carry valid initiation and destination codes, which, except for ship comms, which are in another database, are preloaded at manufacture. Each system Ansible is custom-made to respond to its destination signals. Got that?
Yes, I suppose. It's an expensive approach.
True, but it's kept Ansible safe from the kind of takeover that used to happen with planetarian system-wide nets. Meanwhile, ISC sets the parameters for the system's light-speed net to match those of the Ansible to form a unique connection. Part of our monopoly agreement is that system-wide nets will not link with other Ansibles. Ansible-to-Ansible links are possible, of course, but access to the system light-speed net is limited to one Ansible.
But some systems have more than one. Many have both a financial and a commercial.
ISC will manufacture more than one Ansible with the same internal code, of course. But there's only one connection code for each customer system. And our service agreement ensures that the customer can't connect with any other Ansible. If ISC opened customer systems to shipborne Ansibles, that would mean a massive security hole.
There's got to be a way around that. I can't believe that Osman and his allies weren't contacting locals with theirs. It would keep their communication secure from any surveillance that ISC was doing through the system Ansibles.
If they did, they had tech we don't know about. Not that it's impossible. Some of ISC's research division have been unhappy with the no-proliferation policy for decades. Management has suspected that they're using ISC funds for research we never see.
Let's assume they had that tech. It's safer that way. And then let's assume you can figure it out and build us an equivalent.
Rafe stared at her.
Me? I'm not a designer or engineer. I can't possibly...
Rafe, you're the one person we have who's expert in ISC hardware. Until we find a designer or engineer who wants to work with us, you're it. I'm sure Osman had information on this somewhere. Find it.
But you need me to help you with the contacts.
Yes, you can do both. It may slow you down.
To a dead stop.
Not really. If you can even define what we need to know, we can start trolling for more expertise.
I'm getting close to the edge of what I can do. My primary loyalty is still to ISC. You're asking me to help subvert it.
It's my contention that in order to help ISC, we have to have communications that work. ISC's enemies already have the tech I'm asking you to find. We're not making things worse. We're using the new tech to help.
Maybe, and maybe not. I'll have to think about it.
Well, don't think too long. By now, the enemy knows who we are.
What about Stella? How will she know where you've gone?
I've left her a message at the Captain's Guild.
She's not going to be happy about that.
I know, but we didn't have a choice. On the way, we can stop off and practice some things.
Drills.
It's not as if you didn't have your own drills.
At the next jump point, Kai ordered the ship to lay over for a few days. She took them close enough to one of the larger masses that debris from their successful shots at components of its ring system would stay in that area, not complicate the jump point transit for other ships. The two corpses vanished in the first salvo. Watching things blow up was less fun than it had been when she and her cousin set off illicit fireworks on the beach. But in 3 days, she knew that the Gannets were definitely a superb gunnery team, and the others were as good as what she'd been shown in the Slaughter Key Space Force. Osman had kept his weaponry and supporting electronics in top condition, so only slight adjustments were required. On the fourth and fifth days, she and Hugh set up simulations for the crew to play through.
I wouldn't like to be the odd pirate that tried to take us on. When do we go hunting?
We need to do more than pick them off one by one. That could take a lifetime. There may be 60 or more with the portable Ansibles. That's how many Rafe thinks were dispersed just through Osman's services.
Ouch. You're right. We need a fleet. But assembling one...
is not going to be easy. Certainly not if I try to talk to government entities. I'm hoping to find some privateers at Salyan, though. Surely they'll be more willing to listen.
Hugh nodded without much enthusiasm.
We also need more than gunnery drills, Hugh. That last fire emergency drill was pitiful. Response far too slow. Keep us awake nights if you have to, but I want to reach Salion with a crew that's thoroughly familiar with every compartment and every procedure.
Beat scrape and paint.
In the next FTL passage, Kai had reason to wish she had not said, keep us awake nights, because the drills Hugh devised interrupted everyone's sleep repeatedly. Power loss, environmental leaks, hull breaches, fire in the galley, armed stowaways holed up in cargo, artificial gravity failure, and the captain had a role in every emergency, usually involving getting to the bridge in nothing flat. Kai wondered where he'd found the variety of drill-enhancing objects and substances that smoked, stank, flared, and made scary noises like escaping air, crackling flames, gunshots, and gurgling liquids. Or the makeup that turned some of the crew into gory, wounded, or dead heaps here and there about the ship, and others into strangers, stowaways, assassins, the enemy. Rafe hunched over the table, eating a hasty meal after 2 hours of struggle to control an imaginary flood.
At least it's not boring. The man shows real creativity in his approach to drills. I'll say that for him.
Well, thank you. And I'm pleased to report, Captain, that performance has been steadily improving, reaching commendable on the past 3 drills. With the captain's permission, I'd like to let up now. I think they need a reward for good work.
You have the captain's permission. The captain would like a full night's sleep, or any shift sleep, so I don't get to Salion looking like this.
Kai gestured at herself.
The captain is always impeccable, and diligent as well. Some captains would have told me to lay off days ago. I appreciate your willingness to let me push this crew to a higher standard.
You're welcome, and I appreciate the work you put into this.
Mutual admiration.
Rafe rolled his eyes. Hugh looked at him with a mild expression that seemed to convey something far less than mild. Rafe suddenly turned red and got up hastily.
Interesting young man, that.
Very. My cousin Stella knew him a while back. He showed up with her at Lastway.
He is attached to her?
No, at least I don't think so. They had a legal partnership. I had one with him myself after Lastway because Stella said he would honor a partnership.
Is it operative now?
No, it's long run out. I forgot to renew it.
And yet he chose to be on this ship with you. Interesting.
He had the expertise with communication systems. I needed him.
Now the mild look was turned on her.
Ah, he's quite good looking.
Not you, too.
Hugh said nothing.
Martin worries all the time that I'll fall for him or something. I won't. He's not my kind.
If she had a kind, which with Hal's defection she wasn't sure of.
I'm going to bed, and I would appreciate if there were no surprise drills for the next 8 hours.
Certainly not, Captain.
Kai hoped that was not a twinkle in Hugh's eye. Three days later, they dropped into the Salion system and eased in toward the Salion main station. Salion had placed a remote surveillance station only 15 light seconds from its mapped jump point. Fair Colleen no sooner cleared down jump turbulence than Kai found herself facing a Salion immigration control official on screen.
Salion inbound clearance station to arriving vessel. Confirmed beacon ID, owner of vessel ID, commanding officer ID, last port of call, ansible status to last port of call. All vessels must have clearance from this station before proceeding to Salion main station.
Along with that came a data string for the ship pilot, directing the rate of deceleration and course.
Ship name is Fair Colleen, owner, Vata Enterprises. Captain, Kailara Vata.
Our records show this vessel's captain should be Osman Vata. Explain this discrepancy.
Osman Vata was a pirate. He stole this ship from Vata Transport. You should have a warning on file from Vata repudiating ownership and responsibility for Osman Vata.
We do.
Osman Vata is dead. I should be on your list as captain of either Glennis Jones or Gary Tobai, depending on your latest update information before the Ansible troubles.
Yes.
This ship, Fair Colleen, is now returned to the Vada transport list. In order to prevent confusion, I intend to re-register it under a new name.
But who are you? What authority do you have?
I'm Kailara Vada. My father was Gerard Vada, Chief Financial Officer of Vada Enterprises, which included Vada Transport Limited. That list from Vada should have included a brief bio and visual.
Well, yes, but what are you doing with that ship? How did you get it?
My cousin Stella and I have been authorized by Vada headquarters to reestablish Vada trading routes and recover any Vada ships we can locate. I also hold a letter of marque from Slaughter Key, which authorizes me to take prizes. Osman is dead. This was a Vada ship until he stole it. I have returned it to Vada service.
It's an armed vessel.
Yes, of course. Osman was a pirate.
You haven't disarmed it.
No. As I said, I hold a letter of marque.
Your weapons must be locked down and sealed. We must inspect the seals. An inspection team will board before you dock at the station.
Of course.
Now, what was the Ansible status at Ross Varine when you left?
The Ansibles at Ross Varine were working while we were docked there. But we left because we were informed by Ross Varine authorities that a threat existed, and we observed a ship apparently heading for their financial Ansible just before transition to jump.
You have any recorded evidence of this?
I can make a copy of her scan log. There was some exchange of fire.
How many invaders?
3 ships came through in formation. That's when Ross Varine advised all out-system ships at the station that they must either leave or stay for the duration of whatever happened. I chose to leave. I'd been caught in trouble before at Sabine. Ross Varine had their own ships shadowing the first 3, and everyone else had been told to lock down their weapons and stay out of the way. We were a little more than a day out of Ross Varine main station when 4 more ships jumped in and fired on one of the Ross Varine defense batteries. Then one of the ships in the departing line veered off and appeared to be headed for the financial Ansible. That's all I know.
I doubt that. Someone like you in a ship like that? All right, I'll give your ship provisional clearance to our main station. You'll have to halt 10,000 kilometers out for boarding by a weapons inspection team. Resistance to boarding will be interpreted as hostile intent, and you will be subject to severe measures. Is that clear?
I'm not going to object to your weapons team inspection. I already told you that.
Then you will be cleared for docking, but I warn you, you had better stay out of trouble. We don't tolerate subversives.
Subversives?
Half the rabble we get from Ross Varine are troublemakers. Organized crime is rife over there. Pirates come and go without hindrance. You say you are legitimate, but you're in a very dubious position, Captain Vada.
I'm not your enemy. The pirates are my enemies. They killed my parents. They tried to destroy my family's business.
Your ship's navigational computer has received the assigned course data. Proceed.
As ordered, Fair Colleen slowed to a crawl and finally parked at 0 relative velocity to the weapons inspection team's shuttle. Kai extended the new docking tube that had been replaced along with the airlock and aired it up. A team of 8 came aboard. Sealing the weapons took almost 2 hours. But the inspection team, unlike the customs officer, showed no excessive suspicion. On-station formalities, once they were docked, went smoothly. Clearly, trade was down. The station wasn't crowded with ships, and they had been assigned a berth in a section normally reserved for passenger liners to balance mass, as the station master explained. Kai looked over the list of ships on station and was startled to notice one with Slaughter Key registry. Shara's Gift, commanded by an N.W. Argelos. Maybe it would have news from home. The officer at the head of the ship's gangway had a very military set to his shoulders. The crew were brisk and businesslike. Kai walked up to the dockside barrier.
Kailara Vada, I'd like to speak to the captain, please.
The young woman with the compad looked her up and down and gestured to the man at the gangway. He came nearer.
Visitor to see the captain!
Your business, please.
Kai felt herself straightening even more.
My name is Kai Vada. We just arrived from Ross Varine. I'm from Slaughter Key and saw that this ship also carried Slaughter Key registry. I'd like to meet with your captain to exchange information important to our system.
Vada, eh? How long have you been away from Slaughter Key?
I lifted from home on 17 Barath last year. I know about the attacks on Vada headquarters and personnel. My father, Gerard Vada, the CFO, was killed, along with my mother, when her home was destroyed.
I see. Wait here, please. I'll contact our captain.
He touched his temple, indicating an implant call. Kai eyed the dockside. Shara's gift was onloading sealed pallets that looked remarkably like arms.
You can come aboard. Captain Argelos will see you, but he can give you only a half hour.
Thank you.
Kai nodded to the slaughter key flag painted beside the hatch. Inside, a young woman waited to lead her to the bridge. Captain Argelos was a thick-set man near her father's age, black hair streaked heavily with white.
So, you're Jerry's daughter. That was a bad business, the attack on your family. My condolences, Captain.
Tears stung her eyes. She blinked them back. It was the first time anyone had said the conventional words, offered the conventional sympathy.
Thank you.
Argelos sat in silence a moment, looking to one side. Then he nodded, as if coming to some conclusion.
It has made us all nervous. To think that our space force could not protect our citizens on our home planet.
I can imagine.
I don't know. Vada has never been a part of... But are you aware of Slaughter Key's privateer program?
Yes. I was at the Space Force Academy before I joined the family business.
Ah. Then you know that Slaughter Key privateers operate most of the time as ordinary traders or freight carriers. Pirates never knew where we were, how many we were, or which we were. We have broad discretionary powers, and we carry sufficient weaponry to make us a match for most pirates. But now, it's clear that something has changed, that pirates are operating in larger groups.
You're telling me that you yourself are a privateer?
Yes, I am. I am trusting you with this information to explain why, although we share the same flag, I cannot afford to be associated with you at this difficult time. When the trouble started, I wanted to offer assistance to any Vata ship we met, serve as an escort, lend some of our personnel for security duties and the like. But my Space Force advisor argued against it, strongly. We were here to protect Slaughter Key shipping, I said to him, but he said that was the wrong way.
And what did he say was the right way?
Hunting for the pirates. Which we did. We found some, too, but they were in numbers we couldn't match. Nor can you, Captain Vada. It's suicide to try. If all of us, all the Slaughter Key privateers, that is, were a single fleet, it would still be risky.
Space warfare is always risky, but sometimes it's necessary. So, you have information about the way the pirates are operating now?
Yes. Unfortunately, I have no way to get it to Slaughter Key with the Ansibles down, other than going there. Without guidance from the government, my options are limited.
What about other privateers? Do you know where they are? What they know?
No. We use commercial Ansibles to communicate, the same as everyone else. Two ports back, I ran into another of us, but he didn't know any more than I did.
You didn't think of working together, combining your forces?
Two of us against pirate fleets that might be as big as 15 or 20? What good would that do? If we can get in touch with Slaughter Key again, when the Ansibles come back up, if ISC can even do that much...
Who's your advisor? Maybe it's someone I knew.
I don't know if I should tell you. I'll have to talk to him. I think I'll just go home, see what the government says. If they want us to combine...
If they're not compromised.
Compromised.
You said yourself it bothered you that they weren't able to protect citizens on planet. What that says to me is that someone got to the government at some level. Someone wasn't doing their job. Perhaps someone who didn't want to do their job.
That's... You're asking me to believe that the government wanted Vata attacked?
Not officially, no. But pressure could have been applied. What if someone knew about the change in pirate tactics, knew that Slaughter Key's in-system defense couldn't stand against a pirate fleet, and was offered the choice, sacrifice one family or lose everything?
That couldn't.
He looked down. When he looked at her again, his eyes were troubled.
Is our local defense really that weak?
Ask your advisor. But it's not just Slaughter Key's problem. Ansibles are down all over. Other governments may be under pressure.
Kai stopped, switching internal gears.
Did you ever hear of a pirate named Gamus?
Gamus? Gamus Turek? Nasty fellow, that one. 10-12 years ago, we almost got him ourselves, but he got away. Left us a message at the next station we came to, threatening all sorts of things. I didn't pay much attention. We'd won, after all. But I started hearing things from other captains. 2 years later, one of my crew turned up missing, and 4 days later, station police found the body, flayed, with a recording of what had been done stuffed in the mouth. Others have had similar experiences after a run-in with him.
I think he's behind this. We had a renegade Vada, a distant cousin of mine, ousted from the family. He stole one of our ships.
Osman Vada. We knew about him. Your family put out a bulletin years ago.
He came after me. Vengeance on my father and uncle. I think he's the source of the attacks on Vada. The reason for choosing Vada, I mean. But he wasn't working alone. He was under someone else, and I think that someone else was named Gamus.
I suppose that could be. What made you suspect Gamus?
After Osman died, I started looking for the person behind him.
Osman's dead? How did that happen?
I killed him. Surely you recognize the ship I came in on.
Yes, but...
And you must have wondered if another Vada had gone renegade, if I was perhaps his daughter or something.
Not after learning you were Jerry's daughter, but yes, that's certainly what my advisor thought.
I can't imagine any reason for attacking only Vadas, and attacking them so thoroughly in so many places, other than personal grudge. At any rate, when Osman and I met up, I was able to kill him and capture his ship.
Where did you have it adjudicated? Any problems with the courts?
I claimed it as a prize.
His eyes widened. Kai grinned, enjoying his shock.
I have a letter of marque, too, Captain Argelos. I don't know why or how, but it was waiting for me on Lastway.
But Vadas have never been privateers.
I know. But there it is, so I took over Fair Colleen as my prize.
And no one gave you trouble about it?
Kai wasn't going to talk about Garth Lindheimer.
They weren't too happy at Ross Varine, but they agreed it was legal. And business is business.
This is a dangerous time, Captain Vada. I don't think business as usual is a good model. I will consult with my advisor and be in contact, but do not expect much, would be my advice. I believe he would have doubts about the validity of your letter of marque, as, quite frankly, do I.
Argelos's expression made it clear that this was the end of his patience.
You can come aboard and look at it. Thank you for your time, Captain Argelos. I hope to hear from you soon.
A few hours later, Argelos contacted her and asked permission to come to her ship. Kai agreed willingly, hoping this meant a positive response. When he came aboard, his face showed no warmth.
My Space Force advisor thinks you're crazy, just out for revenge for your parents' death. I told him what you said, and he swears your letter of marque must be forged. Vatas were never privateers, he says, just as I said.
Kai nodded to the frame on the wall.
There it is. See for yourself.
If you'll pardon me.
Of course.
Let's see now.
Argelos was up, peering closely at the letter of marque. He had a small tube in his hand that Kai guessed was some instrument for determining the validity of the document.
Did you study much about the privateer system? How it works in practice?
No. Borderline pirates is what we were told. We certainly were not told that they were an integral part of Slaughter Key's defense system. That came as a complete surprise.
Miss Reed's just like mine. Superficially, at least, it seems to be the same. Impressions the right depth. Ink and paper the right kind. A good forgery if it's not genuine. I have to wonder, though, if the government was removing protection from your family, as you suggest, why would it give you a letter of marque?
I wondered that too, frankly. I wondered if it might be a fake intended to get Vadas into even more trouble. But it came from a source I can hardly doubt.
Can you tell me what?
Space Force. Someone I know personally.
Space Force? Are you sure?
Yes. The source was unimpeachable.
I don't think I understand at all. Unless someone's feeling guilty. Are you fully aware of all the law governing privateers?
No, no more than I knew about how privateers work. I hope to find someone from home who could help me out with that. You're the first I've found.
Suppose it wouldn't hurt to send you a copy of the pertinent regulations and things. But about working together...
Perhaps if I talk to your advisor, I could explain...
He wants nothing to do with you. He was quite adamant on that point. Apparently he thinks some past contact would contaminate, is the way he put it, any cooperative action.
He knew me? He was at the academy?
Or on one of the training ships? I'm not sure which. You declined to say. He considers you a loose cannon, that much is certain. Over-enthusiastic and not over-honest, he said. He's only been assigned to me within the past year. My former advisor developed health problems and had to take a medical leave.
Kai immediately thought of her nemesis at the academy, the cadet whose lies to her had caused her expulsion. But he should not have graduated yet. She wondered who this could be.
I don't see that myself. And youngsters can mature, grow some sense. I was wild enough in my young days. Still, I'm not ready to go against his advice.
Sir, I still say we should work together, all the privateers, to take care of these pirates. I think it's essential.
That can't possibly work.
Why not?
Well, as I said, there aren't enough of us. Not from Slaughter Key alone, anyway, and we don't have any way to communicate. And privateers from other systems aren't likely to cooperate.
Kai wondered if this was the right time to play her best card. Surely it couldn't hurt.
We can solve the communications problem.
Really? How?
Captain Argelos, have you ever heard of shipborne ansibles?
Ansibles on ships? That's not ISC technology. Do you have any idea what kind of trouble we'd be in?
The pirates have them. How else do you think they coordinated their attacks? Besides, we found a number of them on Osman's ship.
But the ISC will interdict our home world if we use non-ISC communications?
No, they won't. They haven't been able to protect the system ansibles. That was the source of their monopoly. They could supply and protect and maintain that vital system. Now they've failed, not just in one system, and not for just a short period. It's been over half a standard year, and dozens of systems are still cut off. Systems will have to protect themselves. They won't care what ISC says if they have another way to communicate.
Clearly, Argelos was interested, leaning forward, eyes alert.
Do these work just like system ansibles?
Not exactly. ISC has set things up so that Lightspeed Communications can interface with only those system ansibles installed by ISC. Ansibles manufactured with preset origination codes specific to each customer.
Then they're useless.
No. What it means is that we can't connect directly to system communications webs with these ansibles, but ship-to-ship communication is quite possible, as is ship-to-system ansible if the system ansible is functioning. It's a parallel system.
How hard is it to install, to operate?
Osman's ship had one installed. We haven't tried to do an installation, but I do have a manual for both installation and operation.
I would worry about detection. How do you know that this device isn't transmitting your whereabouts to the pirates? System ansibles have a locator code.
We're still alive. I imagine that if the pirates knew where my ship was, they'd have attacked me by now.
Except that you killed Osman, you say. Well, that might give them pause.
Not if they're as strong as you say. You said they could gather 10 or 15 ships at a time. No one ship would stand a chance against those odds.
What's the difference between their protection racket and what you propose?
A true interstellar space navy subordinate to civilian governments? Quite a lot. The pirates are saying, pay us or we'll attack you. I'm saying, fund a space navy and they'll attack the pirates or anyone else.
But both cost the citizens directly.
Sure they do. But in one case, the citizens get to choose who protects them and how. They agree on price beforehand.
You make sense, Captain Vada, but I'm still bound to listen to my advisor. I can try to talk to him, but I don't know.
Kai sensed that she had pushed him as much as she could. She hoped he would come to agree with her later.
Thank you for coming, Captain Argelos. I understand your concerns, and I hope we can continue this conversation another time.
His face showed relief. He shook her hand before leaving.